Welcome to the latest episode of the ServiceNow UK and I Executive Circle podcast. We're joined today by Kelly Stephen-Ways, the Chief Transformation Officer at ServiceNow. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you so much, Kat. It's great to be here.
And today is a special episode because we're here to talk about your latest book, Valley Girls, Lessons from Female Founders in the Silicon Valley and Beyond, which is incredibly exciting. So can you tell us a little bit more around what this book is about?
Yes. So this book is a compilation of stories, really the journey, my own journey as a female founder in the Silicon Valley, as well as 30 other female founders across different age groups, nationalities, and different industries. And the objective of this book, there were three. One, to really encourage more innovation inside organizations and outside. And two, to get more funding to female founders. And third, to get women to support each other in business.
That's incredible. But let's talk a little bit more around, you just said, your journey. Can you tell us a little bit more about how did you become a CTO of ServiceNow? Where did your journey begin?
So my journey really began in this regard as a CHRO. So I had been a CHRO for 13 years in technology. There was really a gap in the market that I saw. I really wanted to buy software that stood up a more agile organization, allowing for learning in the flow of work and giving better visibility to the skills inside the organization, better career development. There really wasn't anything like that. So as crazy as I was, I went into a conference room and started whiteboarding this solution. And I was still inside an organization as a CHRO, but I got permission to develop the tool internally. So I really started as what we call intrapreneur first. And my CEO really backed it up. And as I was out speaking and talking about what we were doing at HERE Technologies, we got so much notoriety and a lot of questions about whether we were going to commercialize the solution. So we commercialized it, built a subsidiary. And then when the pandemic hit, the board decided that we needed to spin it out. So that began my journey. I actually spun it out in the pandemic on July 1st, 2020, took 25 people out of that organization, and we ran it as a startup for 2 years before ServiceNow knocked on my door in February of 22 and said, hey, you know, we're very interested in your technology and your talent. And, you know, 3 months later in June of 22, we became part of ServiceNow. And my journey to CTO was really because I had such a passion for our product and what it can do for organizations, certainly the technology was replatformed into it. And I think the CTO role was really the best place for me to evangelize our platform and to help our customers maximize our platform and their workforce transformations. So kind of a short-winded way of a longer journey, but it was a fantastic ride and so happy to be a part of ServiceNow.
And that's incredible. And, you know, we all have to have that passion, that driving force. I mean, for you going a bit further back, you know, where did that passion originally come from when you were growing up?
Well, I had a pretty fantastic mother who was quite a powerhouse and fearless. And fearless, I always say, doesn't mean without fear. Fear is a part of the word fearless, but always leaned into things that were difficult. When she was in her mid-40s, she decided to go back to college. She became a police officer in one of the toughest academies in the country. And unfortunately, my mom lost her life doing that. And I think it really set me on a path, one, to be fearless and to do things that were, you know, the police department didn't allow women into it in the 1960s when she originally wanted to do it. And she went back and made that change. And I think for me, it was a common theme in my life. You know, I was one of the first girls in my high school, went from an all boys prep school to a girl, you know, allowing for girls. And, you know, there were some trials and tribulations about going first as a woman. And I was a first female VP in one of the semiconductor companies and one of the first women to be in a board of directors. There's a lot of those themes in my life. And I think my mom was always the fire underneath me.
That's incredible, a true trailblazer. And we have to have women in our lives that we can look up to. And your mum sounds incredible. So, Kelly, you talk about fearlessness and actually that's the sense of it, it's not actually without fear. You still have to have fear within it. But I think a lot of people will hear that and be inspired, but equally still be afraid, afraid to go first, the first person to ask for funding, the first person to make a pitch. You know, how do you use that fear to your advantage?
So I always say that fear is can actually give you a lot of energy. You know, when I get on stage, I've done public speaking for years. I was actually in acting, and every time you step on stage, you have some fear, but it's how you respond to it. And that's why I say fearlessness has fear in the word for a reason. So harness that fear to give you energy, to bring your enthusiasm. When it comes to being a female founder and, you know, being first or to go out for that fundraising for the first time, I had never pitched venture capital in my life. So the first time I had to go out and do it, I just used that energy to fuel the passion and how I showed up in those pitches. And so that is something that each of us can do is to lean in to that fear and give yourself the energy to do something great, whether it's going for fundraising or inspiring someone to join your company, it's a part of it.
Definitely very wise words. And actually, when I use it now with even my children, you know, going into sports day, they're scared of being in the race, but use that fear to ignite that fire and that passion to drive you forward. So
It's like a muscle that you develop, and all of a sudden you find you're raising your hand to go first when no one else wants that assignment. And that was a common theme in my life. Take the thing that scares the you know what out of you, right? Take the job, the project, and you will find that you will learn so much in doing so.
definitely. And so obviously when you've been interviewing these different people for these books, were there similar stories that sort of echoed the challenges that you've went through? And you know, can you tell us a little bit around
Absolutely.
some of those stories?
And I was looking for a key theme, like what makes women different in the sort of startup or venture world. And one of the most common themes that I found, and remember that these women came from all different walks of life. They were all different ages when they started their companies, and they were after all different industries. But the one common theme they had was this passion to change the world in some way with their product or service. And I think that passion really helped them persevere when the odds were against them, when the bar was higher. That was the common theme. And I think as women, we are natural nurturers. I think we're socialized to be that way. I think that we're looking for ways to make the world better. And I have to tell you, passion can get through you through a very, very difficult situations and keep you energized. For 7 years, I woke up every day with a mission and a purpose to make work better for people. And I think that obviously I landed in a company where that's their mantra, and I still live with that passion every day.
That's amazing. And especially your comment there on perseverance. I mean, I don't think you would have done the things you've achieved without that determination that you've shown. Are there any sort of couple of stories that you could highlight to us from your book that sort of that really sort of showcase that perseverance that you've seen?
Well, one great story is Ashley Reed, who I talk about in my book, who's the founder and CEO of Wellist. And Wellist is really taking the, healthcare benefits, the way we, appreciate and leverage our benefits into a different experience. And, she provides a lot of services so people can understand what their benefits are, and companies can get better adoption of some of the programs that they're running. And during the pandemic, Ashley was company was going through a very difficult time. Companies were kind of just trying to figure out how to manage their employees, let alone, buying other software. And there was people, older people, more marginalized people who were not having access to the vaccinations or didn't know how to sign up for them. And although her company was, you know, really struggling, she provided that service for free and helped a lot of people get access to those vaccinations. And although at first her board was not a fan of her doing this, she ended up winning a huge award for going out there and doing the right thing. And I think that came from her mission and purpose. You know, she was providing that platform to really help people have access to healthcare, and she really made a difference. I think there are, you know, definitely other stories about women, a woman named Denise, an African-American woman out there trying to get funding for her startup, and unfortunately was going up to bat several times, not getting funding. And I think for women, that bar is just so much higher. I think that she was told several things, like you must have a male co-founder, you must be further along. That bar was just so much higher for her. And unfortunately, she had so much trouble fundraising that she had to go in a different direction. And I think this is a common theme. And I think we as women have to reach out and support other women with our money and investment, with our contacts and making introductions, and really help these women, you know, take their startups to the next level, make sure their ideas get out there.
Do you think, are there any sort of communities and forums where you recommend sort of women go to try and find other women who can support them? Because I think obviously we naturally think of something like LinkedIn, but you know, I can imagine a lot of women out there are struggling. Where do I go? Where do I start?
Well, I think the one piece of advice I always give, besides the just, you know, more organized forums, is to create your own personal board of directors. You know, who are people that have experiences and skill sets that are outside your own, that can really help you, can be a sounding board. They're not your current set of investors. They're safe places to leverage that sounding board and to get advice. Secondly, more formalized forums. There are founders forums. There are places like the Athena Alliance. I participate in something called Women Corporate Directors. There are lots of different forums for women to reach out and to be a part of groups where you can get mentorship, advocacy, sponsored, etc. But find first your own personal board of directors. I can't emphasize that enough.
When you're talking about your journey, you're incredibly lucky that the organization you worked for encouraged you to develop the product that obviously eventually became HitchWorks. Do you think more needs to be done within organizations to nurture future entrepreneurs, future leaders themselves within an organization and encourage that that sense of you know, ideas and the development within organizations themselves?
Yes, I think we've started to see a lot more innovation management functions inside organizations, but I think we have to have a way to encourage and capture some of these ideas, particularly from either personas or particular groups who would not be speaking up as much. We have to find a way to call those ideas, because I have to say, so many people in the organization have great ideas that never come forward, and those could turn into products that you market and sell. They could end up being spin outs later. I think Cisco is one company, well, Cisco Systems, based here in the Silicon Valley, who created really, not only were they doing a ton of mergers and acquisitions, but they had this spin in, spin out kind of program, and it really encouraged a lot of innovation from the inside. Companies like Genentech, same thing, a lot of innovation. We at ServiceNow have something called NowX, which is beyond what we do on the venture side or what we do in terms of mergers and acquisitions. So we carve the space for innovation. And I think that's so important.
We're always encouraging women, more girls into tech, but it's not necessarily just getting into technology and taking the technical qualifications. There's also what's been called a bit of a leaky pipeline, where you see women going into tech and then dropping out of tech. You know, how do we, you know, why is that? How do we encourage them to stay and progress and reach, you know, CTO level like yourself?
Well, I think technology is helping actually level the playing field because it has allowed for a lot more flexibility, is allowed for working from home. So when we are in sort of those childbearing years and trying to build our family as well as build our career, it's allowed for a lot of flexibility. But the problem statement about getting women into technology in the first place begins much earlier. In fact, I was the chairman of the board of a nonprofit called alearn.org, which was here in the Silicon Valley. And we focused actually on middle school students, so really 12 years old to 14 years old, in areas like math, which were sort of the gateway into STEM studies and STEM careers. And what would happen, particularly to girls, is that they would start to fall off in areas of algebra and math in middle school because it wasn't encouraged. Girls were not encouraged in math and science, and it became, quite, quote, nerdy to be a part of those subject areas. And so you saw a lot of girls falling off. So what we did, we had a program called GEM. We brought in women from NASA and from technology companies who are quite successful, women who were engineers and scientists, and showed these girls that there were careers for them in these fields and that they could be all women and really smart and savvy in these careers. And I think it was making a difference. And we also tutored them quite a bit in math so that they had the encouragement to keep going for it.
Definitely. I mean, at the moment, my daughter's only 4 and she just wants to be Elsa from Frozen. So she's not there at the moment.
She just wants to drive you crazy with the song Let It Be.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of that at this house. But yes, we will be encouraging her into doing whatever she wants to do. So, I mean, obviously, you've had to face lots of different personal situations around encountering gender bias and perhaps discrimination in the workplace as a woman in tech. What advice would you give to somebody who's perhaps facing some of those challenges? And, you know, what can they do?
First of all, lean in, find your places for encouragement, and build a muscle around learning, unlearning, and relearning throughout your life. I think that as far as we've come as women, the bar is still higher for us. And so we don't want to lose our spirit, because our spirit, our passion, leads to that perseverance. And so find your community, which builds you up, the people that can build you up, the people that can support you. And as I tell my daughters, start practicing now being a support to other women. Encourage your friends. When they do something well, congratulate them. When they're struggling, be there to support them. And when you have a skill set that can help them, pull them up in some way, shape, or form. And I always say, every day, do something for one woman. And it really makes a difference.
That's a brilliant advice. And I think, you know, you mentioned there about leaning in. It was a long time ago when Sheryl Sandberg's book came out, but I remember reading that and feeling empowered as a woman. And now I feel that just the same after reading your book, Kelly, Valley Girls. And I hope that everyone who reads it has that same passion and inspiration from your book. So thank you.
Yes, that's so great to hear, Kat. And I really do. Despite, you know, the bar may be higher and there are lots of hurdles, the world needs great women's ideas. And so I want to make sure that is a core message out of the book, is to go for it.
Definitely. And then hopefully part two of the book will be maybe interviewing some more global female leaders, and you can come over to the UK and speak to some of the women over here as well for your next book.
100%. Absolutely.
Brilliant. Well, thank you ever so much for joining us, Kelly. Kelly's book, Valley Girls, is available through Amazon. We're going to put the link in our podcast, and we do hope you buy it and you feel it just as inspired as I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Kat.